Andre, before you preach, Chris and I would just like to pray with you. I've already said as much as I know about you, so I can't say any more. But we really do appreciate you being here.
Just as we're praying, I'll just say a little more. Some of you remember Sasha Tutsaroff, who came through, who got saved as a KGB captain. And Andre is one of the product of the seminary that Andre is a part, that Sasha is a part of. A few folks from here have been out to visit him. John's met you out in Moscow, and similarly Andrew Rackstraw, others of us know. It's a real privilege, and we're just praying earlier. You know, for those of us who have been walking with the Lord for a while, there were times when we would never have believed we could have stood shoulder to shoulder with a church planter from Moscow, and it is a great testimony that now of a miracle that we take for granted, isn't it, of what's happened. So it's a real privilege to have you with us, Andre, and we want to pray for the Lord's blessing on you and the Lord to bless us through you. And so, Father, we lift this space, Father, this time that we have, Lord Jesus, that you are a Father, you are a God who looks to cooperate with his creation because you value us so highly. And so, Father, we ask that you would work with Andre this morning, Lord Jesus, in bringing real history to us, Lord Jesus, history that will last for eternity, because we'll be talking about it for eternity with you, Lord Jesus. This is these are real stories, real lives, Lord Jesus, which you died for and saved, Lord Jesus. And so I want to pray that, Lord, what Andre brings will release something in us, Lord Jesus, for seeing hopeless situations opened up, Lord Jesus, for seeing hard situations planted into with the gospel. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Thank you. Good morning. It's my pleasure to be here, and my privilege also. I want to apologize, first of all, for my English, but I guess it's better than your Russian. And I have a strange accent, because I learn English from Americans mostly, so I must have strong Russian accent, okay? And I apologize for that. I also want to say that I'm very, very grateful to Brother John and his overwhelming hospitality. He's really, really hospitable, and he even wanted to give me a ride on his horse tonight. So I don't know who is more brave, either myself or the horse, but I'll find it out later. Anyway, thank you very much, John. It's a privilege to, you know, to be in his home. And also thank you, Pastor Chris, for allowing the stranger with strange accent, you know, to speak today. So I would like to give you a little overview of our ministry in Russia. So if we can, I have a PowerPoint presentation. That's our vision statement, because we want to see there are descending or coming of God's power to our people, to Russian people, through healthy Christians and healthy churches. So of course, the word healthy can mean many things, but first of all, I mean, a healthy Christian is the one who knows Christ personally. This is actually all the gospel is about, relationships with God, personal, real relationship with God. So, and healthy churches also, these are the places where people can build those relationships with real living God. Amen. Okay, let's go on. In order for church in Russia to be successful today, we really need to minister to the people there in a practical way. The reason is most of our churches, by majority of people, are considered to be a cult, unfortunately, because of their Russian Orthodox Church, which wants to be the only church, the state church. Anyway, so currently the situation is so that it's very hard to invite somebody to the church. Well, you can invite them, but they would not come because they think that you are a cult. And that's why the only way for us to reach new people today is to do something to them in a very practical way. And one of the major threats, one more, one of the major threats today to the Russian population, Russian people, is drug addiction and alcoholism as well. And that's why we had a vision from the Lord to start this ministry. And with God's help, we did. Okay, one more again. Yes. So I had a vision, and the vision came from John chapter 4, and that's the history about healing of nobleman's son in Capernaum. So, I just felt when I read this scripture on the home group, I just strongly felt the Lord speaking to me, and he said that I want you to start the center, and I want it to be the sign for your city, the sign that I am here and I am living and I am alive and I love this city. The same way as God healed that nobleman's son, that was the sign for Capernaum. So I believe that this center, which we just recently planted, will become the, you know, healing sign of God's love, God's mercy, and God's grace to our people in our area.
Okay, again.
Yeah, and also I believe that, you know, all that story which I'm telling you, I believe that there are several people here who are right now wonder about, you know, God's direction in your life. You may wonder about your ministry or, you know, whatever. And let this testimony be the proof that God really wants to give you a vision, real vision, and that vision would be fulfilled if you obey and if you do what God will tell you.
Amen.
So, yeah, I would have told you that drug addiction, which is connected with mafia and AIDS and prostitution, is one of the most dangerous threats today for the future of Russia.
Okay, one again. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. By the way, here in the bottom of the screen, you can see our website. You can walk there if you want to. Not now, of course. Yeah. Well, anyway, this is a very sad figure. 150 people a day, average, are dying in Moscow area because of drugs, and most of them, they're young people under 26 years of age. This is a very, very sad figure, but it's true. It's official statistics. They say that. Altogether, there are about 6 million addicted people, drug addicted people in Russia. There are much more alcoholics, of course, but this is their average rate of growth of their overdoses in Russia. So you can see that, you know, the progression is terrible today. Because when country was opened, not just, you know, good things came in, but also bad things like drugs, prostitution, and AIDS. So it's situation today is real bad.
Okay.
Here are some of the pictures of the people after overdose. So I had this vision, but we have many difficulties. First of all, we needed our ministers, because this kind of ministry takes devoted and very serious and very, you know, powerful men of God. And then we needed a place, and this is one of the challenges for you know, many churches in Russia. We since we are very young, you know, and very, you know, weak still, we don't have buildings, we don't have you know, facilities, and it's also very hard to rent, because authorities in many cases they view us out, as I told you, and they don't want to, you know, rent to us anything. So anyway, it was a challenge. And then on the top of that, all leaders, in fact, most leaders, they were not supportive to that vision. And that's normal. That's a normal thing, you know. But if the vision is from God, and if you just grab hold on it, and you go with it, and you pray, and you do what you can do, then you will see a miracle, as we saw already.
Okay, go ahead.
So we launched this ministry, and we bought cabins. Those are wooden cabins. It's small, very simple. That's inside the cabin, you can see. We launched this ministry this February, actually, seven, 8 months ago, and when it was launched, and when we saw first fruit, of course, people became supportive.
Okay, one more.
These are pictures from their launching service in the church, and those are the first residents, and some of them are ministers also. Those who are minister there and stay there.
Okay.
Yeah, this is the program. First of all, intensive prayer, confession, which is very important, because for the people like that, without openness and without, you know, revealing all their hearts on a permanent basis, it's very, very hard to, you know, to be delivered. So Bible study, Bible lessons, then Christian community. By itself, Christian community is a very, very powerful tool. In fact, it's one of the most powerful tools, because, you know, people whom we take to the center, they are unbelievers completely. I mean, they don't have any Christian background at all, and they're on drugs. I mean, they're not good people at all, you know. In order for them to be converted and to receive deliverance and healing, it takes miracle, you know, every time it takes miracle. And the Christian community, when people live together, when people pray together, when people minister together, and, you know, it's very simple, but it's very powerful. So Christian community is one of the most powerful, you know, tools of healing those people. Then, of course, involvement in church meetings and church ministry, because we go there, they are coming, you know, to our church services on Sundays, so we have constant communion. And that's in the future. We are planning to have leadership school and missionary school in that, you know, center, in order to spread the gospel and spread this kind of work further on.
Okay.
And these are the pictures from the prayer meetings. That's a prayer meeting we have every Friday night. We have our prayer meeting in the center.
Okay.
That's Bible study. And those are the first fruit. So you can see the pictures of of the guys who were delivered, you know, who are not addicts anymore, but they used to be. And those are the baptisms. The first one we had in May, this one was August, a baptism. And this one was the coldest in my life. It was in October.
Yep.
Okay, this one, yeah. It was in October and the water was about 3 degrees. Yeah, so I decided that, I would probably stop it doing in October. In fact, the last one we had was Sunday, but we rented a sauna and we had it there. It was much, much nicer.
Okay.
So you can see here, the person who came to the program and he's after the program. And that's even more powerful here. So we can see here, you know, the power of the gospel in the picture.
Yeah.
And that's that's VIP student. Yeah. So that's our vision statement again. And talking about our vision statement, we believe that God has special plan for Russia in general, because the devil, as you all know, managed to do so many you know, terrible things in Russia. In fact, I believe that the most terrible thing which happened was communist revolution, you know, all the things which followed. And but I believe in God, who is the God of revenge. So if devil was able to do so bad, so terrible things in our country, then God is more than able to do even greater, even in, you know. And we have many prophecies. In fact, one of the most well-known prophecy was given by the man called Hudson Taylor. I'm sure that you probably know him, because he is from your country. He was born here and he was a missionary in China. And on one of the services, he had a vision. He just stood still for some time and then he said that he saw, it was like more than 100 years ago, it happened. But he saw our First World War, then he saw the Second World War, and then God showed him the final revival, which is supposed to take place before coming of Jesus. And he said that he saw how it started. He said that the final revival started from Russia. And from Russia, it started to neighboring countries, and then from there to all over the world. So it may well be true, and we do believe that this may happen. And that's why we are doing what we are doing, and that's why God is, you know, calling us. And another part of my ministry is as a ministry or church planning ministry, because our denomination and we are part of the Pentecostal Union in Russia, and we have a project called Project 42, which is aiming to 42 large cities where there is no church of our union yet. And in fact, in many places in Russia, there is no evangelical churches at all, and in many there is no even Orthodox church. So it's kind of a complete end church. Anyway, so I'm in charge of the missionary school. We have a short term missionary school, and I'm doing teaching, and I'm also doing their organization of the school. And I guess I can show you a couple pictures from the schools. This was the school in December of 2004, and you can see the pictures of the missionaries who went over and planted 15 churches after that school. Okay, that was the school in September of 2005, and we had, I believe, we had about 17 students there. No, 14. I'm wrong. Okay, that was the school in November of 2005. Most of the school was aimed or geared toward Muslim evangelism, and we invited students from the areas in Russia where predominantly Muslim areas, and there are people there, Christians there, who plant new churches also. Okay, yeah, we had 70 students back then. This was the recent school in May of this year. We had 10 students, and they also, many of them are church planters and missionaries.
Okay,
yeah, this is the school in Siberia, in Nyagany. You can see here can you click it backwards? This is Siberia, and in fact, Russia has 11 time zones. It's of course the largest country in the world land-wise, and it's interesting that I drove there from one city to another. It's about 250 kilometers, and there's nothing. I mean, you can see just this. I mean, nothing. I haven't seen one human being. Well, just just, you know, forest or lakes, and it's beautiful, it's great, but just empty, completely empty. So anyway, we had a school over there, and most of those people on the picture there are ministers and leaders of the church there. Some of them also are missionaries who want to plant new groups and new churches in surrounding villages.
Okay.
Yeah, we had 25 people there. And this one is Altai Mountains. It's about 2,000 kilometers from east from Moscow. And I was there just last October. This is the school there. We also had like a leadership or conference and leadership school there. And we had more than 30, actually, pastors and church leaders on that school. Yeah. And this is probably my most important ministry to my family. That's my family. My wife, I have a 10-year-old daughter. His name is Vika. She's on the next slide. That's her. She's 10. And my son is 5. Yeah. Timothy, his name. So, what else I do? Also, I'm writing books. And in fact, the next book, I'm almost finished. It will be both in English and Russian. And it would be on prayer in tongues. So if somebody from you would like to have a copy, you can arrange that. Or I have an electronic copy already, but I don't have hard copy. So anyway, that's a few words about me. And this, I wanted to finish with this scripture because my heart really is in this scripture, especially right now. As for me, David told, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." I remember that when I was reading this scripture, it just spoke to me very, very powerfully. What God is waiting for me when I am awake, when I wake every morning. God wants us, God wants me and you to be satisfied with His image, you know, with His name, with Himself, basically. And that's very, very powerful. And if we would learn every morning when we get up to be satisfied with Him, with His nature, with His person, you know, with Him personally, we would be happy, satisfied people who could do God's will on this earth. So, in fact, I want to close with that. One time, a person from the West was, you know, visiting us, and he said, "Do you think that God in your country is bigger than in our country?" And I thought for a moment. I think yes. In terms of people in country like Russia, which is just comparatively poor, and which is, you know, in the times of turmoil, people are much more dependent on God there, because they should be. I mean, they you know, and here you have so much from, you know, from their medicine, from their, you know, good education, so on and so forth. But of course we know that God is the same everywhere. But I want you to have a big God. I want me to have a big God. And the only way how we can have a big God in our life is to do what says here. When we awake, to be satisfied with His presence, to be satisfied with His person, with His likeness. So let me leave you with this verse. And again, it was my privilege to be here. And also, let us pray for revival. Let us pray for revival, not only in Russia, but also here and all over the globe, because we do believe that before Jesus comes back, the global revival will start, and many, many, many million of people will find the Lord and will find life, truth, and the way, who is Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the revival which is coming. I thank you that your glory will descend all over this globe. Father, I thank you for the land of Russia. I thank you for those 11 time zones and for all the people who live there. And I do believe that you have a special plan for this mighty land. And I believe that your Holy Spirit will visit us powerfully. And I do believe that you revenge all the evil which the devil managed to do in Russia. And I do believe that we will see this revenge, mighty revenge, from your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray for my brothers and sisters here in the UK. I pray that revival would come here. I pray that that all those mighty men and women of God who used to live here, that you would raise even greater people for your glory from this mighty land, that the final revival may sweep all over the world. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen.
And let me finish with a real prayer in Russian, okay?
Yeah.
Отец, спасибо тебе за то, что я имею возможность здесь быть сегодня с моими братьями и сестрами. Благослови каждого из них. И пусть каждый из нас, когда мы просыпаемся утром, насыщается от образа Твоего. Пусть каждый из нас знает Тебя, любит Тебя и служит Тебе во имя Отца и Сына и Святого Духа. Аминь.
God bless you. Thank you.
Should we just join with that? Let's pray into that specific issue, Father. Father, you never called us to respectability, but Father, you did call us to freedom, and the enemy tries to rob us of that freedom, and does it by putting these labels on us. And so, Jesus, I just we look with real love and grace towards the Orthodox Church, Father, that that has carried the gospel for centuries. But Jesus, we want to pray that it will become secure in its own relationship with you, Father, and not feel the need to try and squeeze out others who come in your name, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, I want to pray a blessing for the Orthodox Church, which releases freedom, Father, that releases a freedom for everybody who carries the gospel, Father. We are not in competition with them, we're not in fight with them, Father, but we want them to feel secure, Lord, in their calling and in their role under you, Father, to give freedom to everybody who owns the name of Jesus, who is not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who knows it's the power of God for salvation. Lord Jesus, we want everybody who knows that to be free, Lord Jesus, to carry that message, Lord, into the lives of people who are crying out to know their Creator. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free, not to be subject to a yoke of slavery, not to be subject to that yoke of slavery. And Jesus, we know the truth of that from our past lives, from our sins, Lord Jesus, that freedom you give us. But the enemy tries to put other yokes on us, and we want to see those things broken off, Father. A real freedom for the gospel to go out, a freedom for the gospel to go out. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks. Some of you may not know, but I've actually had the privilege of going to Russia on two occasions. One on a business trip, and so I saw the business side, stayed in the swanky hotels, and enjoyed the good food. The other son was a missionary trip when I went out with a chap, and we went out to into Moscow and went down to Kazan and another place called Samara. And we heard, in a sense, the negative side. I just want to put, I was invited to go to in a place called Kazan, I think that's the right name, to a group leaders meeting, and we turned up, and I tell you, there were 150 people there. This was a small group meeting, and the worship was phenomenal. I know we got a great worship band, but I mean, literally, they were fantastic. And to see worship and to join with people, I didn't know the words. I knew the songs, some of them, but I'd say, hey, these people really had a heart. They had a heart for Russia. They had a heart for their own people. They were reaching out, and it was a tremendous privilege to see. So I just want to back that up with what we've heard this morning. This is a country which is on the move. This is a country where there are men and women who are standing up, and it costs them to do so. It really does actually cost them. I can't emphasize how cushy we have it here in some respects with our state social security and so forth. To go to a little old grandmother's house and to be given literally the best food she'd got, when we knew that it was going to take her probably a month to recover financially from that, but to be blessed by people like that, it is a tremendous privilege. And I believe God is calling men and women here and people here to be able to go out and to go to this. We've been out to many, many countries, but I think there's something special which is happening this morning here in the hall here, that God is calling, and there's people here who know that God has got a calling on your heart now, and that this is the place to go. So afterwards, see the leadership team. We'll be praying. We'll support you in that. So don't hold back from what the Holy Spirit's saying.
And we were having a staff prayer meeting, and I had just previously been talking to Pastor Wernbrand in California, and I was back in Michigan. And at this prayer meeting, I felt led to pray for an officers' Christian union in Russia. And the person who was the executive secretary thought, and he told me this years later, that that was one prayer that God would not answer. And when he told me this, there had been two or three officers who had come to know the Lord in Russia. And I just like to say that God answers prayer, and he is fantastic.
This
one thing Andre didn't mention. In fact, two things. He said to me yesterday that if it hadn't been for communism, he thought Russia would be like this country. Sorry. It's God's heart to restore Russia, as it is his heart to restore our country to. Now to the nub of what I was going to say. Andre has a 10-year-old daughter. He would love for her to come and stay in this country or on an exchange basis. So if you've got a daughter who would like to go and stay with Andre and Irina, his wife, he would love to hear from you.
While you were praying at the end, Andre had a picture, a very simple one. It reminded me of Jesus in the temple. There's a table loaded with all the things that happened, the bad things that have happened in Russia. I was watching a program about Stalingrad the other day. And God had two hands on the table and just simply tipped it up. And as quickly as that, it is undone. And that is what God will do in Russia. He'll be faithful to that.
I'm really glad you took up an offering because it was just so on my heart just to do that. So thanks, that was really lovely. When we were praying at the very, very beginning, the thing that really sort of struck me was about God's protection. And even through all that horrible, dark, evil time, God was still in Russia and things were still under his wing. It's just nobody knew it. And sometimes we do ask for God's protection all the time and it's ridiculous. It's like asking for an umbrella. When you're actually in the rain, when you've already got one, you just need to put it up. You just need to touch God and ask him. His protection's there all the time. His wings are over us all the time. We just need to remember to look to him. And that's what this church does. I think it's a really wonderful church because we are reminded to look to him all the time. And it's why I can carry what happens here on a Sunday through the week. It's not just this funny little hour and a half of my life. We can carry it through the week and we can carry it through the months and the years. And yes, there's definitely a chance for restoration in Russia, but actually it's been happening all through history because God has a hand. He knows every single detail. He knows everything. He's an accountant. He's the one. He's got all the columns and he's going to balance the books. And actually he's going to make a profit and it's going to be a huge profit. Russia is going to look it's going to be a country of peace. I kept getting this thing about James Bond because, we've got James Bond going on. And in the James Bond films, the baddie, in the early ones, the baddie was always Russian. And the girls were always, Natasha, they had beautiful blonde hair and they had these crazy outfits on. And they always died in a really horrible way. It was just really silly. But it was almost like this really negative worldview of Russia. And I just want to see that is ripped away. We no longer think of Russia in that way. I want Russia to be restored to be known as a nation of peace and love and energy and fruitfulness and something that we all aspire to be like, because in many ways Russia has a kind of clean sheet in some ways. I know you have the drug problem and everything else, but actually we've got all these marvelous things and what have we done with them? We've contaminated our country. And there are some amazing opportunities, I feel, that God can just pour into. And the thing is, we just got to pray that people recognize that God's protection is there and that they can reach out to it and that they know that God has not forsaken them. And it's not a starting point. It's infinite. It's not, this is now. But, we all like to turn over a new leaf, but God has always been there and he's always going to be. And I just think it's wonderful that we have an opportunity to talk and see something so different to our everyday lives because it's very humbling. And I just really thank you, Andre, for coming here and it's really touched me. Thank you.
During Andre's talk, I was reminded of a prophecy, the details of it and where it came from, I'm not sure. I believe from someone in New Zealand, but it's many years ago. The person who had this word from the Lord saw open fields, but with fences and a pond in each area. But then it began to rain. And where all these ducks were originally swimming in separate areas, separated from each other, as the water began to come, so the flood came and the water rose above the fences until all the ducks were swimming together. And I felt the Lord say, that's what he is doing across the world, but in particular in relation to the Russian Orthodox Church and the attitudes of other Christians of long standing. This is what's happening, and the ducks will swim together. We will be united in Jesus and recognize each other for who we are.
funny. I remember that prophecy very, very clearly. But the one thing that was on my heart when we were praying for you, God was just showing me your heart, Andre. And I just saw a heart that was very pure. I just saw a white picture. And I believe God has used you because he's seen your purity of heart. And he's going to enlarge your heart to embrace more of the work that you'll be doing.
I want to thank you so much, you know, for your love. And I'm always grateful to God that we have a great family. That, even this morning I didn't know, you know, almost anyone of you. And now I can see my brothers and sisters here. And I know that there are so many, there are millions around the world. And it's so good to know you are part of a great, large, everlasting family. So I also want you to know that there are many, you know, brothers and sisters of yours in Russia and in other republics in the former Soviet Union. We'll be praying for you. We would appreciate your prayers. Thank you so much. God bless.